This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And when do you know that the signal is real? What is the unmistakable sign that things are about to change? Like finding the melody deep inside a dense symphonic score. What is noise? Historical noise. What is the clear signal identifying the past? How much noise is there in economic data? When does the number reveal something we can act on? How much meaning is there in the noises around you? All this hour, the noises and signals of news, of history. What would it literally have sounded like in the 14th century, for instance? We're going to go there. What are the sounds in your own life? We're even going to give you the opportunity to switch a sound off that you would prefer to do without. Present company accepted, of course. We begin with the most serious discussion, though, of signals versus noise right in the headlines. In a moment, we will hear the fear and alarm of a grieving sister who is hoping against hope for the release of her brother, Kenneth Bay, detained as a convicted spy in North Korea for nearly a year. A family's pain, looking for a clear sign of progress or intention from the indecipherable North Korean government. Bay's mother has just seen him in prison. We'll get an update on his condition. But first, Karen Lee, Executive Director of the National Committee on North Korea, joins me. Karen Lee, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a puzzle to me why the Kenneth Bay case doesn't have a higher visibility in the U.S. government or in U.S. North Korean policy. Does that puzzle you?
Well, the previous cases that had a higher profile, I would say, also had family members who were better connected to the media and were able to raise the profile of their family member to a higher, greater visibility.
Although, is that what's needed here? Doesn't the U.S. have an interest in getting an American citizen released from prison in North Korea, regardless of the media savvy of the family?
Absolutely. And I do believe that the State Department is working very hard on this, as is the Swedish embassy, which represents U.S. interests in Pyongyang. I think, as most people know, this is the longest running the American detainee held for longest in the DPRK since the Korean War. From the outset, the DPRK indicated that they wanted to use Kenneth Bay to teach a lesson to Americans to stop breaking North Korean laws when they are in the country. It's a tragedy for Kenneth Bay's family, of course, and Kenneth Bay himself.
And, of course, we have no confirmation that he broke any laws explicitly or had any ill intent against North Korea. He was a tour guide over there. We're going to hear from his sister in just a little while. How much have other events distracted the nuclear issue, the detention of this boat in Panama that contained weapons? I noticed the big story in Pyongyang today is half the country is out in the streets celebrating the opening of a water park.
Well, it is true that Kenneth Bay's detainment has taken place at a time when U.S.-North Korean relations are at a low, and also when pressure on the DPRK resulting from their third nuclear test is at an all-time high. So, for example, the ship that was detained in Cuba, that kind of inspection of North Korean cargo just wasn't taking place at the same rate several years ago. And certainly, I think you see a lot of people, organizations, countries that are very concerned about any affiliation with North Korea today. I don't know if you read this story that China has been holding up an oil shipment to North Korea that was stated in the Japanese press to be from Iran, and Iran said, no, it's not ours.
Mm. Well, there's tremendous pressure, but what the pressure points are and how they're received in Pyongyang is the issue, and the lack of a real dialogue between the U.S. and North Korea also an issue. Karen Lee, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Karen Lee is Executive Director of the National Committee on North Korea. This is The Takeaway. So it's not exactly clear where the family of Kenneth Bay should place their hope these days. Serving a 15-year sentence for hard labor for allegedly attempting to overthrow the North Korean government, Kenneth Bay's mother, Myung-hee Bay, was granted a visit with her son earlier this month, a response to her shock at seeing him in a North Korean video.
My heart was broken into pieces. when his prison interview was released on July 3rd, because his appearance was very shocking. He looked so different, and he lost so much weight. I could not believe that prisoner was my son.
Myung-hee Bae has since returned from Pyongyang. We spoke with her daughter and Kenneth's sister, Terry Chung. The visit has been the first tangible sign of anything since Kenneth Bae's detention.
You know, it's been incredible and really emotional. It's been almost a year now. November 3rd will be exactly a year since he was first arrested and detained in North Korea. And, you know, during that time, there has been very little contact. And, you know, he's been especially so isolated in prison by himself and also from the rest of the world. And so I think to have that time together, I think has been just incredible. And really, hopefully, he's soaking up all that love, not just from my mom, but from the rest of us as well.
Mothers can be worried in the best of times. How worried was she to see Kenneth, and how is she feeling right now?
I think, you know, her heart has been aching throughout the last year. But, you know, going into the trip, she was really nervous because, you know, we had heard that he's been in the hospital for 2 months. And before that, he was, you know, serving in the labor camp for 3 months, laboring 8 hours a day, 6 days a week. And I know I think his body had just started to give out. And so we were incredibly worried. We weren't sure what she would find in the hospital. So, you know, it's been just a lot of heartache. And then I think leaving was also hard because she had to then leave him behind. You know, I think she came back with a renewed sense of commitment that, you know, he really needs to come home now. It has been a year, and I think seeing him there, I think really kind of solidified for her sense of, wow, he really is a prisoner. And, you know, it was hard for her to see him in the hospital gown. He's confined to a, you know, a very small room, and as he had been for the past 12 months. So all of that, I think, hit home for her. And, you know, I think she came back with, you know, just the renewed sense of we need to bring him home now. He's the longest American that's been detained there. And he's the only one, as far as we know, that was actually sent to the labor camp. So, you know, I think just all of that was, you know, very concrete for her now that she had seen him in North Korea.
You know, Americans have this sense of North Korea as a kind of a bad international joke. You've got Dennis Rodman going over there. You've got, you know, late-night comedy shows making sport of the way in which North Korea can be a parody of itself. How do you respond to all that? And particularly the idea that, you know, Dennis Rodman goes over there and, you know, there's a giant press corps. Your mother goes over there and it's very different.
You know, it's hard for me because I'm not an international relations expert. All I want is I want my brother to come home. You know, it's been 12 months, and it's really unfortunate for us as a family to experience the dynamics and the conflict between the two countries somewhat firsthand because he is caught between, unfortunately, in the ongoing tension between the two nations. And yes, I would like there to be, you know, an engagement between the two countries and to be a dialogue. But first and foremost, I want the dialogue to be about Kenneth Bae, about this American who's been left to languish in North Korea for a long time. You know, from my perspective, one day longer is too long at this point. Our worst fear is that any day now he can be sent back to the labor camp, and then that would be a death sentence for sure. That's why for us, there's even more urgency than ever to negotiate his release, to try to see if there's interest in another envoy and so on and so forth.
Who's your best contact in the Obama administration? Do you have one?
I don't have. Our family has, you know, we're just an ordinary American family. We don't have powerful connections in politics or media. I don't have a direct line to, you know, former presidents or vice presidents. So we just do the best we can. We write letters. Our family has written several letters to President Obama, Secretary Kerry, to various congressmen. And, you know, we try to contact our members of Congress in Washington, hoping they would be our advocates for us. And, you know, and we write letters to whoever will listen, frankly, and say, hey, do you know about this American in North Korea? Can you help us? Can you speak for us? Because we don't, our voice isn't loud enough. And can you be our voice to the people who have the power to negotiate his release?
Well, I don't, you know, I'm afraid I don't know what's ordinary about your American family, Terry Chung, but if there was a message that you wanted to deliver directly to them that would push it beyond we're working on it to something more urgent, what would that be?
I would say, yes, we are ordinary in the sense that we are hardworking family. My brother was a hardworking father of three, and he was working in North Korea to provide for his family as a tour operator. And now he's been there for 12 months, and it's been an incredible hardship, not emotionally, but in many other ways you can imagine when one's father is away and imprisoned and unable to work. So I would say, you know, don't forget about this American. He's just one man, but he is an American citizen, and he is a father to three, and his health has deteriorated, and he has chronic conditions that need to be treated once he comes home, and so he needs to come home now to be reunited with his family that really, really miss him and are really suffering as a result of this really lengthy detainment, and I really ask that they do make it a priority to bring Kenneth home after a year.
Terry Chung, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Best of luck to you and your family.
Thank you.
Terry Chung is the sister of Kenneth Bae, the American citizen who's been detained since last November in North Korea.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.